Welcome to the Women Who Hustle podcast, hosted by Candace Nicole, the creator of Women Who Hustle. Each episode will be packed with encouragement, enlightening moments, life advice, self-care awareness, and more. There will also be dedicated segments with your favorite Women Who Hustle, who will be highlighted and featured. We aim to assist women in finding their balance between their hustle and everyday life. So let's get right to it. Here is Candace Nicole.
Hey guys, Candace Nicole here, and thank you so much for tuning in to the next episode of the Women Who Hustle podcast. This is number 8. We are going to 15. I cannot believe it. Are we like halfway there? I think just about, right? 8 will make us halfway there. But anywho, again, Candace Nicole, I am actually the creator of Women Who Hustle. I created this in 2015. And so excited the growth that we have had with this, you know, with this great network of women and how it's going to continue to grow in the future. I am also the owner and principal publicist of Candace Nicole Public Relations, also known as Candace Nicole PR. So with this episode, the title of the episode actually is Living at Your Peak Potential on Purpose. Of course, as we learn more about our guests, it'll make sense of why that is the title of this episode. And I will tell you this, this is definitely one where you will want to go back and listen to this again. And you're definitely going to want to share this information with some other friends of yours as well, because it's a very powerful episode about miracles, about faith, about intention, living your best life, like truly living your best life and living your best life on purpose. So let's meet our guest. Her name is Lindsay Vertner. In 2007, a fatal car wreck left Lindsay Vertner brain dead and paralyzed. Medical experts were amazed at Lindsay's miraculous recovery. She uses her unparalleled perspective to push her clients towards success in their personal and professional lives. Lindsay's expertise centers around overcoming obstacles, work-life balance, and the three pillars of life. She's also an award-winning Peak Potential Strategist. Absolutely love that title. Peak Potential Strategist. She is a speaker and a 2-time number one best-selling author. Lindsay is devoted to teaching ambitious female leaders around the world how to balance their lives by putting themselves first without guilt. Come on now. That's a mic drop right there. Lindsay is also a co-founder of The Unleashed Woman, a nonprofit organization that uplifts women of all backgrounds through empowerment and networking events. With a master's in professional counseling, Lindsay is a graduate of Indiana and Liberty Universities. So, yes, she is everything. Like I said, she has a powerful story. I cannot wait for you guys to tune into the next segment as I do speak with Lindsay and ask her, you know, these personal questions about, you know, her accident and how she overcame and how she is inspiring individuals. She is definitely a beautiful soul. And I am so glad that we actually connected on social media. Y'all, really. Shout out to social media. You probably have heard about this podcast on social media, but shout out to social media again. I probably owe them tons of money for the connections that I have come in contact with and everything. But I'm just grateful for the individuals that usually, to be honest with you guys, I probably would never met these individuals. So I am grateful for it. So with that being said, oh, and let me say this. Remember to follow us at Women Who Hustle on Instagram. And also you can like our page on Facebook as well. Just search Women Who Hustle. So let's get into it. All right, you guys, super excited about this guest. I am actually familiar with her. Her name is Lindsay Vertner, as you heard in the introduction. And Lindsay, thank you so much for joining us on Women Who Hustle podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really excited. I am. We connected on social media. Shout out to social media. I think it was Facebook. Was it Facebook?
I don't even remember because we're connected all over the place now. So I don't know which one came first.
Yeah, I have no idea. It might have been Facebook at first. But you guys, she has a story. She definitely has a story. It's part of the reason why I wanted to actually bring her on to Women Who Hustle podcast. As I said, I'm familiar with her. Definitely seen her work. She has an entire women's conference that she does. I know she's going into her fourth year of doing it. You know, feel free to discuss that towards the end of the conversation as well, Lindsay. But I wanted to, Lindsay is a peak potential strategist. So before we get into like the nitty gritty of the conversation, ladies and gentlemen, you may be tuning in as well. I want to ask you, Lindsay, what exactly is a peak potential strategist? I have an idea, but from your words to my ears, what is that?
So that means that I help you to intentionally live at your peak potential day in and day out. So oftentimes we don't realize that we like to think we're in control of our lives, but our subconscious controls 95% of our behaviors. So the things that we've grown up with, our belief systems that oftentimes we're not even aware of. So I help you tap into those so that you can create a life full of purpose and fulfillment.
Wow. I love that. I feel like I need that in my life right now. To continue on that path. You know what I mean? Like, I think some people know they're already on that path, but to continue, that's where, you know, where it makes sense. So let me ask you this. So before you arrived at, you know, becoming a, you know, a peak potential strategist, did that happen before or after the 2007 car wreck that you had? Because you went through a lot. So if you can share with us, you know, that process.
That happened after, because it was actually that event that brought a lot of things up to the surface that I thought I had healed over time. And in actuality, I had not healed it. So I had begun this self-discovery journey with my physical healing and mental healing and emotional healing. And that's what really led me down the path of what I am doing today. And I started to notice it everywhere in my past experiences. I noticed it in my friends and family that I was helping. And that's what really started to open up the doors. Like, okay, wait, there is something here. Now everything is starting to make sense.
Wow. And let me add this in there. You guys, she actually was brain dead and paralyzed. So
that's
a lot to even read. Right. So after, I guess, you know, coming out of it, what was that like? I mean, just everything pauses, you know, in your life. Of course, the medical doctors, you know, they were amazed by your recovery. I mean, you know, we're doing this podcast right now. Like I told you guys, she's great. She has a women's conference. And so I guess the process of post, you know, your situation and you go into, you know, wanting to talk about individuals, you know, their, you know, your peak potential and wanting to live your best life. I guess, do you feel that after that accident that pushed you more into that space, do you actually think if that did not happen, do you think that you still would have arrived at where you are right now?
So I think that I would have arrived here. It might have just taken me longer and I might have had more struggles and more obstacles. So to rewind a bit for those that are unfamiliar with my story, I want you to just imagine yourself waking up and having absolutely no clue where you are. You can't talk, you can't move, you can't see. The only thing you notice is the moonlight shining through an unfamiliar window. That's what I was like in May 2007. Last thing I remember is I was in the car on my way home. I lived about 3 hours from my mother at the time, and I had surprised her for Mother's Day weekend. And it was that Sunday. We had said our goodbyes. I grabbed some lunch. I'm driving. By the way, this was after I was done eating, so I wasn't a distracted driver or anything. But I remember listening to the music, making that 3-hour trip home. And then the next thing I know, that was me. I had woken up and I had no clue where I was. It was pitch black. The only thing I noticed was the moonlight shining through a window that I knew was not my own home window. And I started to panic.
Right.
Like in that moment, literally, like I panicked, and I was panicking so much that I ended up exhausting myself out and falling back asleep. And then the next time I woke up, it was daytime. And I'm thinking like, man, that was some nightmare.
that I experienced. It felt so real, mm-hmm. only to slowly realize that I still couldn't see, I still couldn't move, and I still had no clue where I was, and I couldn't talk. So that is what happened in May 2007. And then a lady walks up to me and she starts talking to me. Mm-hmm. And in my head, I'm answering her, but out loud, it's only noises coming out of my mouth, like, oh, oh, oh. Because there was a tube down my throat, keeping me breathing, keeping my lungs pumping full of oxygen. And so she fills me in on what happened. And she is saying that I was in a fatal car wreck. Of course, we know that diagnosis is wrong, as I'm here talking with you right now. But I was pronounced brain dead on the scene. I was air evac'd by helicopter to the nearest trauma hospital, where again, they had pronounced me brain dead upon arrival. Yet by God's grace, they still continued to do the emergency surgeries because they hadn't located my family yet. Uh-huh. And I was also paralyzed amongst a long list of injuries that I sustained. And so to have that normal life, to all of a sudden be thrust into something like that, mm-hmm. it definitely led me to where I am today, as I started to recognize the trends in my own healing process and then the things that I recognized in others.
Wow. I can't imagine, like waking up in a unfamiliar place. Look, I know how it is. Sometimes I may be exhausted and, maybe I'm traveling and I wake up in the hotel room and I'm like, wait a minute. And then you're like, you're on travel, relax, you're fine. Right. So mm-hmm. I can only imagine that you just remember driving back home and then you wake up, you're in a hospital and you're just like, what happened? Wow.
Yes. Yes. It literally felt like a scene from a horror movie. You know, when they kidnap the girl.
Yeah. Look, and I watch enough stuff as is, so.
I watched too many movies, so that's definitely, I just knew. I was like, oh man, I'm a goner. What happened? And so I was very relieved to find out, not at what had happened, but that I was safe in a hospital somewhere.
Right. And you woke up with new purpose. Not to say that you didn't have
yes.
purpose, prior to. However, going through this and actually of them saying, no, she's brain dead, she's paralyzed. But like you said, by God's grace, they still continued because, of course, they had not been able to make contact. And so they just need to do the work, right? You eventually, come to get through this. But then you also realize, of course, that you have this new purpose. And then you decide to, be able to pour into women. You decide to start speaking and sharing your story. And so with this, and I guess you can weigh in on this, because of course, when this episode does air, I fully believe we are still going to be dealing with this current crisis, with COVID-19. Ladies, at this time when we are recording, it is actually said that Georgia is supposed to open on Friday, I guess parts of it with certain things. And on Monday, certain other things will open up as well. And I'm just like, what? It doesn't make sense to me, but this entire thing doesn't make sense, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess, how are you, or how have you found your way that you've had to pour into your audience maybe a bit differently with this crisis that is going on?
Yes. So I noticed over the years, whenever I would follow people and just wonder, like, okay, what makes them successful, or what makes this person do what they do or say what they say, that there were a certain set of trends that I was noticing as I people watched, so to speak, and as I studied psychology and things like that. And then I reflected back on my own experience and I realized I was doing some of those same things. And so in this moment, it's important that we realize something that I call the 10 key factors to live a first-class life, mm-hmm. because we always have the option to choose the life we are creating for ourselves. And that can be a hard pill to swallow if we aren't in the best of circumstances, right? We don't want to believe that it's up to us or essentially our fault for what we find ourselves in. Of course, things like this are out of our control, but we do have the ability to control the quality of life that we are living. And that's what a first-class life is about. It's not about how much money you have, but it's about living in your purpose. And it's about being intentional about creating your happiness each and every day, because it takes the same amount of energy to be miserable as it does to be happy. And so I always say, choose happiness. You're going to be exhausted the same amount. So choose the happy route. I mean, I'd rather be tired and happy rather than tired and miserable, right?
Ooh, can you repeat that? You said it takes the same amount of, this is the nugget right here, y'all. Did you see the gem being dropped? Is you said it takes the same amount of energy to what?
Be happy as it does to be miserable.
Oh, to be happy as it does to be miserable. Wow.
Yeah.
And you know what?
And a lot of people don't realize that. They think, you know, oh, it takes a lot of work. But it takes a lot of work no matter which way you choose.
You know, she's absolutely right. I definitely discovered that, you know, years ago of, you know, like say you're upset about something, or you know, someone made you mad and you're just like, how am I going to get them back?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what you want to do. You know, you're coming swinging that way. I'm going to swing this way. And it's like, wait a minute. Yeah. Give your time to, you know, to be mad or frustrated, but then it's like, release it. Yeah. It's like, you have to start talking to yourself of, girl, you don't have time for this. There's so much stuff that is going on in the world, so much stuff that is passing you by because you're making the decision to stay in this space and then think about how you're going to do this to get back at them, or think of, you know, the things you're going to implement. It takes a lot of energy in that. Look, and I still see things of where I'm looking at people handle certain situations a certain way. And I'm saying to myself, man, if they use that same energy, okay,
right,
that they're using over here, that they can use to push themselves forward to start focusing on what changes that they need to make in life, man, they would be a beautiful individual. So,
right. Because here's the thing, when we stay in victim mode, we give up our power to make changes. And when we are all caught up in our emotions, that's not to say that we don't, you know, feel our emotions, because emotions are important, but we don't want to stay there because we can't make logical solutions from emotional places. So it's harder for us to see the tools of success that we have around us. It's harder for us to come up with creative solutions to our problems when we're stuck in the anger and the sadness and the pity of it.
Very true. You have to dig deep and make that decision. And on my IG page, I, you know, shared just a little bit about my testimony throughout this time. There's even more, you know, that I want to share, because I do want to talk about the, you know, the favor of God, just his mercy, you know, and grace, because I want that to show as, you know, show as kind of like a show and tell proof to someone that, look, stay the course. He's there. You know what I mean? He will get you through. So you mentioned also, Lindsay, about the 10 key factors to live a first-class life. Now, I know someone is thinking, look,
yes,
we're in a crisis now. How in the world am I really going to, you know, change my mindset of thinking about living a, you know, not just the good life, y'all, not just the great life, not just living your best life. She's saying a first-class life, which I love. I love that. But if you can share, and I don't, it's up to you if you want to share all those 10 key factors or you just want to give us half. But if you can start just talking about that entire process of, you know, living that first class life.
Yes, I am more than happy to share whatever we have time for. So whenever you hear first class life, you often think of luxury and money. And as I mentioned earlier, it's not about that. But what it is about is the quality of life that you are intentionally creating for yourself. It's about showing up 100% authentically you and being unapologetic about it. It's about walking fully in your purpose, not only to elevate yourself, but also elevate everyone that's connected to you, because it's not about us. We are all in this together. And so I noticed that there are those trends that I mentioned that make up how we live a first class mm-hmm. life. And when you hear that, I want you to think of that as an acronym. So each of the letters in first class life, and I know we said 10, add in the life that makes 14 a little bit more for the advanced levels, right? But each of those stands for a characteristic or skill that you want to try to embody and implement into your life. And I love that you said about God and having that focus be a part of your life, because that very first F in first is faithful. Mm. Whenever you are living a first class life, you are faithful. You are faithful in your spirituality, and you are faithful in who you are as a person. If you look up faithful in the dictionary, it stands for consistently reliable, mm-hmm. which not only are you to be consistently reliable in who you are and how you show up for your family and friends and how you show up for your clients, but God is the same thing, trusting that He is consistently reliable. Mm-hmm. So that is a crucial factor, because that's going to help to start to decrease that overwhelm and help you to manage your emotions whenever we do have times like this COVID-19, whenever everything's going crazy around us. If we just hold our faith and trust that it's all going to be okay in mm-hmm. the end, then we're already decreasing our overwhelm. It's not as bad. Not to say that we still don't have our moments, but we aren't freaking out as much. Right. Makes sense?
No, it makes total sense. And that's why, you know, I personally made a decision. Now, I'm involved in a challenge, a 5-mile challenge, where the woman who created it, we had the choice of doing 5 miles each day or 5 miles within the week. I decided, you know, me being very ambitious, that I'm going to do 5 miles a day, right? And that time is important to me, because I'm able to do it in the morning. And like today, I decided to listen to all gospel music when I was doing my walk. And so that faith plays a huge role in my life. But then it was just reminding me of, again, how faithful He is. Okay, that I am, you know, living in a place where I can go out for my walk, the beautiful pathway that's there, right? Breathe in, you know, the air, because they actually say the air is actually pretty good right now. So they're encouraging you to breathe in, because there's not a lot of people on the road, you know, so it makes total sense. And also, and you'll probably, you know, mention this, is that people need to get comfortable with talking to themselves. It's not a thing of like, oh, okay, she's a little bit crazy over there. No, you need to talk to yourself every day. And Lindsay, there have been times where I've been on my walk or if I'm at the grocery store and that anxiety starts to creep up, I'm like, Candace, you're okay.
Talk yourself out of it. Yes.
God is with you. He knows why you're in this store. You have to get food. You're going right back home. You're not out here just, you know, bouncing around. There's a purpose of why you're here. But I am constantly talking to myself, especially when I'm on my walk. Like, girl, you're good. So I love that that's the first is faith.
Yes. And that's important, because our self-talk is part of the environment that we are creating for ourselves. The things that we hold true and the things that we speak over ourselves eventually come to fruition in some way or form. So it's very important that you're mindful that you're speaking positivity, because just like it says in scriptures, we have the power to speak life or death. Like, our tongue is very powerful. And I'm a big mindset master. That's my go-to jam right there. And so our thoughts are important. Everything started as a thought. Everything in this world started as a thought in somebody's brain at some point. And eventually it rolled out into reality. And so that's why it's important that you are mindful of how you are talking to yourself and the thoughts you are thinking about yourself.
Ooh, that's a word. So, I saw on social media earlier today, someone, what did they say? They say you need to start focusing more, I believe what he was saying was start about how you are talking to yourself, other than, like, I guess, listening to yourself, perhaps. Because at the same time, when you talk to yourself, you also mm-hmm. respond to yourself too. I know someone's like, what are you talking about? But what I'm saying in a nutshell is, and as Lindsay, you know, was saying, the power of the tongue, and please, please be mindful of what you do speak over yourself, what you speak about this situation. It is so powerful. It's so powerful.
Yes. Real quick example. One of the things that I started to despise a little bit, because at first it was like, oh, that's cute. Mm-hmm. That's funny. But then the more I thought about it, I was like, oh, no, I'm not speaking that over my children. You know, those little, oh, this is my broke best friend. Mm-mm. Nope. That's a whole nother direction. But I was like, wait a minute, I'm not about to speak poverty and being broke over my children, because I understand how powerful our words are. So I want to speak wealth over them and abundance over them. So I refuse to call myself broke. Anybody that's connected with me, if I hear them say broke, I'm like, look, I ain't trying to get on you, but don't call yourself broke. Okay?
We do not do that over here.
Right.
Maybe
not in the budget, but you're not
right.
Broke.
No,
okay?
You're not. And that's also, that's a whole other conversation. But y'all, you are not, do not operate in that space of broke anything. Stop claiming that. So many people, I'm broke. I can't, what? No, you're not. You just decided to use that $80 right. to go, say, get your nails done or whatever. You can use, you know, the 50 to go do this. You are not broke. You made the decision. But again, the words that you say over yourself, no. Okay. You operate in mm-hmm. abundance. It will happen. Again, goes back to your mindset. But if you can share just a few other key factors about living, you know, your first class life.
Yes, that kind of flows right into the I of first, which means intentional. When you are living your first class life, you are intentional about everything you do throughout the day. And we have to think about where your focus goes, your energy mm-hmm. flows. So the things that you focus on, that's where your energy is going to be attracted. And that's where you're going to attract more of whatever that is. I always say, think it. See it, do it, be it. Intentional is important. So if I told you to think about how often you see a burnt orange car, you're probably like, oh, I don't ever see one of those. But if you set that intention and you're like, you know what, I'm going to look for burnt orange cars, then all of a sudden your brain is opened up and the possibilities of how often you see a burnt orange car. One time I did this to myself and I saw, swear, 3 before I even got to my next destination. And I was like, burnt orange cars.
I believe it.
But it's what we focus on. That's what our brain becomes trained to see. So that's why it's important that you're intentional, like we just said, about the words you speak over yourself, what you're feeding into your mind, because that's what you fill your life up with.
So basically, y'all want to see more money? You better start thinking about that money, thinking about those coins. No, but honestly, that's the thing. It could be something, you know, when I'm, you know, think about my dream car, I end up seeing, you know, when we were, you know, being able to really drive around and everything, right? I would see that dream car a couple of times during the day. And I'm like, this is crazy. So I totally agree with that. I do.
Yes. Just like whenever I was having my recovery, I had to be intentional about what I wanted for my life. And whenever you're intentional, it helps to guide your behaviors. It helps to get you up doing something that you know has to be done, but isn't necessarily the most fun to do. So another one of the letters in first class life, the A in class stands for action oriented. And when you're intentional, it helps to drive your action. See, all of these factors are related and intertwined, because sometimes we set our mind to do something and then we sit back and we do nothing because we expect it to be handed to us. But nothing is like that. Everything that is worth having is worth fighting for. And that doesn't mean that we have to be on the struggle bus forever and ever, but you have to set that intention and then put the action behind those intentions. Just like I said, you have to think it, see it, do it, and then be it, right? So for example, whenever I was in my recovery stage, like I said, God's grace got me through it. And then doctors did what they could do as far as the surgeries and everything. But at some point, the baton was passed to me, because then it became my choice to continue healing. It became my choice to live the rest of my life versus becoming a victim to my circumstances. Yeah. I had to make that choice. Okay, am I going to sit here and have a pity party and cry every day and be depressed and make other people wash my body, push me around in a wheelchair? No, that's not what I wanted for my life. I wanted to be able to walk. I wanted to go back to school. I wanted to see my friends and family. I knew that my boyfriend, he's my husband now, but he was my boyfriend at the time. He didn't enter into the relationship with a paralyzed woman, and I didn't want him to continue the relationship with a paralyzed woman. So I set my intentions on what I wanted for my life. Okay, I want to walk. I want to continue the things that I had planned on doing. And I want to be able to do it how I want to do it, not on somebody else's lead because they have to take care of me. And so then I had to put the action behind that intention, because whenever I was going to therapy, I had to get up and do those therapies. Y'all, I was in therapy from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Sunday, 7 days a week for weeks. I just knew, like, okay, weekends, we offer therapy. Nope. I knew holidays, we offer therapy. But when my nurse walked in to wake me up on that holiday, and she was like, "You ready?" And I was like, "No, I'm not ready at all, because it's a holiday.
I need a break."
You should be bringing in barbecue, right? Wow. But no, that's whenever that intention comes into play, because I reminded myself what I wanted for my life, which meant, okay, I'm going to get my butt up and I'm going to go do this therapy so that I can do what it is that I set my mind to do. And y'all, therapy was not fun. I was in every type of therapy, behavioral therapy, cognitive therapy, shock therapy. Mm-hmm. That's where they hooked me up to machines and they sent literally electrical volts through my body. Think of how you jumpstart a car. That's what they were trying to do to my nerves so that I could walk again. And again, they didn't know if it was permanent paralysis or not. So this was a Russian roulette. It might work, it might not, but I was willing to put myself through that. It didn't tickle, put myself through that pain, because I knew what I wanted. Did I want to be shocked? No. Did I want to get up and go to therapy every single day early in the morning? No. But that's when that intention comes into play, because I thought about what it is that I wanted. And I knew that even though I don't want to do this, I'm going to do it anyway, because it's going to get me to my goal.
Wow. You are such a light. You really
are. Aw, thank you.
No, you really are. I mean, I appreciate this conversation. I know that you are going to help out so many women and any listeners, to be honest with you, that tunes into this episode. This is definitely a note taking episode. Y'all know I like, y'all don't know me like that. I am a note taker. I am. So I'm definitely going to be going back to this playback, and I will be breaking out my notes. Wow. But everything that you are saying, it is so true. And a lot of the times I think that we already know those things. But it's different when someone else is delivering that message, and especially when it's coming from someone that you know about that. Like, you know about it, about this has happened. This is where my life is right now. Okay, Lindsay, what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do? Right. And to make that decision. And that's why they say anyone who's dealing with anything, right, from dealing with a cold, or if it's something really, you know, big that you've been told, or you've been in a, you know, an accident and you have to go through some type of healing process, you do have to make the decision that I'm going to beat this. I'm going to get through this. Mm-hmm. Yes. If it's just, you know, your common cold, you're feeling down, but you know, if you can still move your limbs and get up, get to moving,
take that shower, wash your face, right? You know, get back in bed, rest up, stay hydrated. But you cannot just sulk and just end up, you know, feeling defeated. Because again, it goes back to your mindset. The mind is such a powerful thing. I don't know. It's almost like
there's been studies on it as well.
It's incredible. The mind of how you can tell yourself, no, we're going to do this. Just like you said, you know, your boyfriend, who's now your husband, he did not enter into this relationship with a woman who's paralyzed, and he's not going to have to remain in one. You know, like for someone else, it may be a different, you know, situation, but you said, no, this is how it was. And you went into, like you said, with that, and you know, that intent. And then of course, putting in that action. So is there, I know there's many, many other letters, but I guess if you can share one last letter that you feel would be, that would be great to share right now.
Yes. We talked about, you know, being intentional and being mindful of the things we speak. So that T in first class is thankful, being thankful. And I know we hear that all the time, attitude of gratitude, but we hear it because it's important. Like I said, where your focus goes, your energy flows. Reminding yourself that it could always be worse. So whenever I was being filled in on what had occurred over the past week of my life, because to this day, that's an entire blackout. Like I have no recollection from being in the car until I woke up. And I'm sure that's for my own safety, so that I'm not reliving those moments. Because there is one thing that whenever we replay traumatic moments in our minds, we are re-victimizing ourselves over and over again. And so I'm sure that was for my own mental health, that I still can't recall any of that time. It's literally just a blackout period. But as I was being filled in, all I could think about was like, thank God I'm alive. Like, that's the only thing that was running through my mind. Like, I'm alive. I am alive. I didn't have time to worry about everything else because I'm alive and I'm thankful for I'm alive. Like, all the rest can come to me later. But right now, my focus was I'm alive. And that's what I decided to focus on, was just being thankful for that and being thankful that I had a mother that started praying for me as soon as she found out. She was calling everybody. I had people literally all over the world that I didn't even know praying for me, because they tried to take me off of the breathing tube a few times. And it wasn't until the third or fourth time that it actually worked. And it was on that last time that they said, if it doesn't work this time, then we're going to have to cut a trach in her neck so that she can continue to breathe. And my mother did not want that for me. So her praying and having everybody pray for me, like just being thankful that I had that support system, being thankful that I did have a team of knowledgeable medical doctors and therapists and things like that, that found things in me. Because there was another moment where I had a nurse who noticed something in my leg wasn't right. And because I was paralyzed, I couldn't feel it. And he ordered the doctor to do an ultrasound on my leg. And they noticed a large blood clot that had started to break apart and travel through my veins. And that means it could have eventually traveled up and gotten into my lungs and clogged my ability to breathe. And I died from a blood clot. And so just being thankful that I had people that were willing to notice those minor things, because to the naked eye, you wouldn't have noticed my leg, but he did notice that. And so we have to remember that when we're thankful for what we do have, it attracts more abundance in our lives. So in times like this, being faithful that, you know, we're having a crazy moment right now, but it's all going to work out. Being intentional about how you're going to live each day during this crisis. Like, all right, I know things are crazy, but instead of complaining that I'm home, I'm going to be thankful that I have this time to rest, or I'm going to be thankful that I have this time to create what I've been putting off wanting to create because I didn't have the time, right?
Yeah, you're under staying home, but you have a home. You have a home that you can stay in.
It's that mindset.
It is that mindset. Wow.
Yes.
So this
yes,
is
yes, yes.
And I've
so just putting them you, all in the together.
Brought tears to my eyes. You brought up your mom, because anybody does know me, I love my mommy. And this has been a trying time. Oh. I'm 36 years old, and this is the longest that I've gone without seeing my mom or my nana, who's 96. Yeah. In all of my years, like, this is the longest, you know. I haven't seen my mom since, I think it was in February, because my last like travel was March. And so it's been the longest. And it's a beautiful thing, you know, when you have a praying anyone, but especially when you have a praying mommy and, you know, that wants to pray on you. And, you know, God's hand was definitely on you through that entire process. And like you said, with the doctors and the nurses and anyone who, you know, who your therapist who came in contact with you, because, yeah, you didn't know, like you said, you were paralyzed. So you wouldn't have felt anything. Like, I don't know if it would have caused your leg to feel a certain way. You know what I mean? So you wouldn't have known that. So, wow.
Yeah.
This was one heck of an episode. I encourage all of you to go back and listen to this episode again and really listen to, you know, to what Lindsay is saying and what she is breaking down for you guys, and, you know, talking about the mindset, but then talking about the letters of, you know, faith and being intentional and action and, you know, and being thankful. And I know there's other letters as well. But hopefully you guys are encouraged, will remain encouraged. And Lindsay, if individuals want to contact you, how can they find you?
Yes, my website is lindseyvertner.com, LINDSEYV, as in Victor, ERTNER, lindseyvertner.com. You can reach me across all social media, Facebook, Instagram, on YouTube. Hey. I even joined TikTok, y'all, at Lindsay Vertner, nice and consistent. So as long as you spell my name right, I will be the Lindsay Vertner that pops up. Feel free to shoot me an email at gethappy@lindseyvertner.com. I would love to hear your thoughts and your feedback. I also have a little gift for the listeners.
Aww.
Yes, 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 yes. So what I have is a goal setting template, and it's a free download. And listen, SMART acronym, that's important. I'm sure you heard of it if you are in the goal setting world, but this is not that, okay? This is not your average goal setting template, but it's going to help you to dig a little deeper when you're creating your goals, because sometimes our goals fail because we didn't set them up on a strong foundation in the first place. And so this goes, right? This goes into that I for being intentional about what you want for your life. So go download this goal setting template and be intentional. Just make a goal for the next 7 days and be intentional about that goal, because progress is better than perfection. And as long as you are doing just a little bit each day to achieve that goal, you're going to start to see a ripple effect, because then you're going to want to do another one and another one and another one. So go to the website bit.ly/first-class-goals.
I can't wait to download it myself, because I'm into goals, y'all. I really am. However, what you said about, because you're not setting these goals on that strong foundation. Yeah, I will admit some goals probably have, you know, fell because, you know, the lack of what I built them on. So I cannot wait to download. Thank you so much again, Lindsay. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you sharing your story, being very transparent.
Thank you.
You know, keeping it real with us and then having that gift. I'm excited. Ladies, I hope you are excited about that. Hurry up and go download it. If you're in your car, of course, don't do it now. Wait till you get at home. And thanks again for tuning in, you guys. And of course, you will see us later on the airwaves.